salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala. So inshallah we'll continue our discussion about the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Mutakabbir. And as we mentioned last night, we said that when it comes to human beings, if someone is described as mutakabbir, it means arrogant, it's not a good thing. But with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a beautiful name. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has every right to call himself whatever he wants. And the name mutakabbir, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning is totally different from the human perspective. فباللغة العربية اسم المتكبر معناه العظيم الذي تعالى على خلقه. ده المعنى الأول. والمعنى الثاني الكامل الذي تنزه عن النقص. والثالث هو العدل الذي ترفع عن الظلم. So this is the meaning of the word mutakabbir in the Arabic language. So the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique, he has no equal. No one is equal to him. There's no equal to him in this world. And therefore, no one can challenge his authority. So I remember 1912, his name was Thomas Andrews. And he was the builder of Titanic. There was a reporter back in 1912. He asked him, how safe is the Titanic? He said, not even God can sink it. It's so safe, not even Allah can sink it. The rest is history. On its first trip in 1912, the Titanic was sunk because of an iceberg. Ice, right? Not Allah, ice, right? So no one can challenge the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because there's no one equal to him in this world. So this is the first meaning of the word mutakabbir. The second one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the perfect. He has no wants, he has no needs. I remember many years back, I was in Edmonton, I was giving a talk to the sisters, and there was a little kid, 5-6 years old, and he asked me a very challenging question. And he said, why Allah doesn't have a father, and why he doesn't have children? I said, well, this is the best question I got today. Why do I need a father, and why do I need children as a human being? I need a father to take care of me. So my father would take me to the store, he would buy me all the toys I want, Toys R Us, he would talk me to Bob Barnes to buy me a truckload of candy. So this is why I need the father for, to take care of me, to provide for me. My father is the provider. And I need children because I need someone to carry my name so my name doesn't die away. I need my, descendants to carry my name, my children, their children. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need any of that? Does he need anyone to take care of him? He said no. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need someone to protect his name because his name would be forgotten or something? He said no. I said this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Qul huwallahu ahad, Surah Ikhlas, Lam yalid, he has no children, wa lam yulad, he has no father, because he doesn't need anyone. So if all of us tomorrow are wiped out, this will not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. And if all of us, Muslims, non-Muslims, Donald Trump, George Bush, Tony Blair, all of them become Muslim and they do Hajj every year, they give sadaqah, this will not benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. And all of us here, and all human beings in this world, more than 7 billion people, if we commit sayyiat day and night, this will not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. He doesn't need anyone. It doesn't need you, it doesn't need me. And this is mentioned in many authentic ahadith. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mutakabbir. He doesn't need anyone. And his name also, as-samad. Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu as-samad. As-samad, everyone is in need of him, but he is not in need of anyone. We need him for food, we need him for air, we need him for water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-samad. One of the meanings of as-samad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of nutrition. Food, for example, يقول تعالى وهو يطعم ولا يطعم. In Surah An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for everyone, but he does not need provision from anyone. He does not need provision. And this is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the divinity of Isa alayhi salam in Surah Ma'ida, it says وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةٌ كَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. Isa alayhi salam and his mother, both of them are people of truth. They used to eat food. They were dependent on food for survival. And the ulama said, if Isa alayhi salam and his mother, they lived on food, They had to go to the washroom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need any of that. He is elevated and exalted. He doesn't need any of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'ala anil nawmi was-sina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not overcome by sleep or even drowsiness. What is the difference between sina and nawm? Sina is when you come to khutbatul jum'ah and I say, Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu, and you start to nod off. This is sina. And when I say, amma ba'd, today I'm going to talk about this, and you start snoring, this is nawm. Like totally asleep, dead sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need any of that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا يَعُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمْ, He never gets tired. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ, I never get tired, so I don't need sleep. So now imagine if you are on a bus, and the bus driver is falling asleep, this would be a disaster, man. The driver would be fired. I remember many years ago, I had a friend in Egypt, a very close friend. He took his wife to be and his mother-in-law to be. He was still engaged. They went to Dumyat, min al-Qahira. In Dumyat, they make very good furniture. So he drove all the way to that city, very far away city in Egypt, to buy the furniture from there. And on the way, he fell asleep. And he hit a wall or something, and Kharshim ba Hamatu, Kharshim Muratu, they were wounded, and it was a disaster, right? Because he fell asleep for a fraction of a second. There is this khabar on Abdullah ibn Salam. It's not a hadith. It is not a hadith. Abdullah ibn Salam, radiallahu anhu, he was a Jewish rabbi before Islam, and he accepted Islam when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved to Medina. So he is narrating something from Akhbar Bani Israel. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you don't accept the akhbar from them and you don't reject them. If they're good, accept them, alhamdulillah. You may use them for admonition and for reminder. Bani Israel, they came to Musa ﷺ. They always came with many different questions. Some of them were, you know, unnecessary questions. So one of them was, does Allah sleep? And Musa ﷺ didn't want to give an answer. He just said, I'm going to ask Allah and I will get back to you. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you sleep? Because my people are asking me. So can I get 2 bottles of water? I'll give them back, I promise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, take 2 crystals, 2 glasses of water, and hold them overnight. So Musa alayhi salam stood like this overnight for 4 or 5 hours, and he started to nod off after midnight. And eventually, because he couldn't help it, he got down on his knees, and by the morning, they fell down and he... MashaAllah, it's very comfortable in here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Musa, لو نمت لزالت السماوات والأرض. Ya Musa, if I ever sleep, if that was possible for me, if it is impossible for me, if I ever sleep, the heavens and the earth, they will fall apart. I gave the example of the bus driver or your dad, he's taking you for shopping, and if he falls asleep, the whole family would be gone. Now if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala falls asleep, and this is impossible for him, now all the galaxies and the planets and everything would be in ruins. Everything would be destroyed. So this is one of the meanings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not dependent on anyone. He's not dependent on anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Another meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la yansa. He doesn't forget anything, and He doesn't forget anyone. And inshallah, we'll talk more in the future about the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Alim, the All-Known. The last meaning of the word mutakabbir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tarafa' anil dhulm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never unjust to anyone. He doesn't commit justice in this dunya or in akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it perfectly clear in Surah Yunus, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. When you look around and you see dhulm in this world, injustice, it is not because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's never unjust to anyone, in the least. But we are unjust to one another. SubhanAllah, one of the most beautiful things, and I'm going to conclude with this, at the end of Surah Zumar, when the people of Jannah, after judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passes the judgment on everyone, so the people of Jannah are going to Jannah, the people of Jahannam are going to Jahannam, they say in tafsir, at the end of Surah Zumar, وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And it was said by everyone, Alhamdulillahi رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The believers are going to Jannah to the right, they say Alhamdulillah رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And the kuffar, they are going to Jahannam, and they are saying Alhamdulillahi رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. They say why? قالوا في التفسير المؤمنون يحمدونه على فضله أنعم عليهم وبالحسن عشر أمثالها وسبعمائة ضعف وأكرمهم في العطاء فيحمدونه لفضله. وأما الكافرون فيحمدونه لعدله مع أنهم كانوا ظالمين والله لا يحب الظالمين ولا يحب الكافرين ولم يظلمهم أعطاهم بالسيئة سيئة واحدة وليس عشرة وسبعمائة كما فعل مع المؤمنين. So the people of Jannah on the way to Jannah they will say Alhamdulillah because Allah was so generous to them. If they did one good deed He will give them 10 rewards, 700 rewards and more. And the kuffar on their way to Jahannam barbecue they will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Why? Because He gave them justice and He was not unjust to them. He gave them for every sin one punishment, not 10, not 700 like the believers. And this is why everyone will say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So we'll continue tomorrow inshallah with another beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question for last night in Surah Yusuf, two words are used to describe صُوَاعَ الْمَلِكِ. It says in Surah Yusuf, قَالُوا نَفْقِدُوا صُوَاعَ الْمَلِكِ جَعَلَ السِّقَايَةَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ. So Yusuf alayhi salam slipped the royal cup in his brother's bag, Benjamin, to take him, but the guards said, we lost the measurements. So is it the royal cup or the measurement? At the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was the Aziz of Egypt, everyone knows there was a drought, and to avoid fraud, they had to have a standard for measurements. And what did they use for a measurement? The royal cup of the king. That was the measurement, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used both. It was the royal cup for the king, but it was also the measurement used by Yusuf alayhi salam to make sure that this was the standard for measurements. The winner, and I forgot the name, but it was the correct answer from one brother last night. If he's here, he can come forward, inshallah. And the reason I forgot the name, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, he's al-mutakabbir, I'm not. So this is my proof. Is the brother here who sent the answer right last night? Anyone? So I'll take it to myself. So I sent an email around before Maghrib. But anyway, the question for tonight, everywhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Asa Musa, the staff, when he was told, throw it down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as a snake. There's one place in the Quran in Surah Naml, رَآهَا تَهْتَزُّكَ أَنَّهَا جَانٌ. Was it a jinn or a snake? Doesn't work here. So if you know the answer, email me before tomorrow, Asr at Imam Mustafa at Anatolia Center, Dasi, Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.